Father, this is so true. We have not gathered to hear what a man has to say. It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what does your word teach? And it matters that we conform our lives to your word. And in order to do that, our eyes need to be opened. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. Our ears need to be in tune, and our hearts are ready to change. You have called us to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength and mind. So that reveals that I have a responsibility. You have commanded me and each of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is our responsibility to yield ourselves to you and to your word. And I would ask that you would take this proverb that we will be looking at this morning, open our eyes that we might see, that we might change those areas of our life that need to be changed. For your honor and your glory, we pray. Amen. You ready for the holidays? How is it that we are becoming so cynical? I don't know that there has been another generation as cynical as ours is today. So let me ask you, are you allowing COVID to make you cynical? We don't trust the politicians. We don't trust the scientists. We don't trust the data. We don't trust the media. We don't trust the vaccinations. We don't trust the unvaccinated. We don't trust the masks. We don't trust those that wear them. We don't trust those that don't. We don't trust our neighbors. We don't even trust some family now. We don't trust those we even go to church with. We don't trust those that we work with or go to school with. How is it that we have become such a cynical people? That makes me ask the question, am I becoming a cynical old man? You may not be old yet, but are you becoming a cynical person? You see, for me to become cynical, or for you to become cynical, that means you and I are scoffing at the promises of God. Because God has promised through his word that he is totally and completely in control. There is not one thing in this world that he does not have his hands on. There is nothing that crosses your plate without he first giving his permission. He has promised me, he has promised you, if you know Christ as Savior, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He has promised us that all things work together for good. For those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. He has given us his word that assures us. He knows the beginning from the end, and everything is running according to his timetable. So for me to allow life in all the circumstances of life and everything that I come in contact with to cause me to become cynical, that means I can't even trust God. Can I remind you that division is a tool of the enemy? Here we are, the great United States of America, and we are so divided. And if we are divided, it is because of the enemy. We have allowed the enemy. When I say the enemy, yes, I mean Satan himself, but maybe China and Russia and other countries have their hand in some of this as well, causing us to be a divided people, because a divided people cannot stand. And so for me to be living at this particular time, facing the circumstances that we are facing, going through the trials that I'm going through, facing the obstacles, if I allow myself to be cynical, or to become cynical, then I am scoffing at the very presence of the Almighty. Cynicism gives us the luxury, when I become cynical, it gives me the luxury of being right without responsibility of working on change. The only thing that matters is what I think. And I'm right. It gives us the pleasure of endless superiority because I'm correct, you're wrong, period. And it leads us to arrogance as we forget that any insight, any ability, any wisdom we have is a gift from God and not a sign of our superiority. Yes, you may be smarter than somebody else in certain areas. Yes, you might be able to do things that others might not be able to do. You may have your specialties. You may have your expertise, but you didn't get any of that apart from the sovereign, graceful hand of your Creator. You need to remember that. Psychology Today said cynicism is part of a defense posture that we take to protect ourselves. I become cynical to protect myself. And instead of dealing with those emotions directly, we allow them to fester and to skewer our outlook. It goes on to say that when we grow cynical toward one thing in our lives, we may slowly start to turn on everything. Better think about that. Because we allow this infection, this sin, to creep into our lives. And if we're not careful, it begins to affect the way I look at almost everything. This one will shock you. People with high levels of cynical distrust are more likely to develop dementia. We're all afraid of dementia. Well, here's a clue. Put yourself in the sovereign hand of God and believe He's in control and allow Him to be God, and you just walk by faith and trust Him. I don't want to become cynical. And the Bible tells me that self-control and righteous living are ways that strengthen our body and cause us to live longer lives. Yes, the Bible does remind us there are things that we can do to enjoy long life. So take your Bibles and go with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And we want to see how wisdom is on display, should be on display when the hairs turn gray. Ought to be a poet, I guess. If anybody knows anything about being cynical, it is the author of this proverb. It's the author of all the proverbs, or most of them. His name was Solomon. And if any of you are familiar with the book of Ecclesiastes, then you know he was cynical. There was a time in his life where he was convinced that life on this planet was vanity of vanity. It's all vanity. It's a vapor. It'll be gone in a moment. You remember that, Solomon? He was the most cynical person to ever walk on this earth until he began to realize God was sovereign and in control. And he ends his book by reminding us that the whole purpose of man is to glorify God, fear Him, trust Him, allow Him to be God, allow Him to work out His plan, and to see Him at work in all of this. So as we turn to Proverbs 16, I want you and I want myself to be challenged to allow wisdom to be displayed in my life as I grow old. As I grow old. Look at verse 31. I'm going to drop down here. I'm not going to read the whole proverb this morning like I have been. But in Proverbs 16:31, we read this. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory. if it is found in the way of righteousness. So if you are reading from the King James or the New King James, do you notice the word if? If you're reading from any other translation, you don't have the word if. And if you read the Hebrew, the if is probably not supposed to be there. But for some reason, those who translated the King James Bible decided to put an if in there. And I have to ask the question, I wonder why? And it may be that they looked around. Maybe they were getting a little gray-haired. Maybe they noticed a trait that is so common with those who are elderly that they become cynical. I don't know why they put if in there. Maybe because they were forgetting that Proverbs are not promises. Proverbs are not promises. We read things in there, and we have a tendency to say, well, if I do A and B, then C is the outcome. But Proverbs are not promises. They are the general but not universal statement. This is the way that it generally works out. It's not 100% bulletproof, but this is what we strive for. Proverbs are the usually ordinary true way things turn out. Or we would say they speak about what is likely, not what is guaranteed. But just because my New King James translation used the word if, I used it to shape my cynical approach to this chapter, because I don't want my gray hairs to illustrate that I'm just an unhappy, disgruntled old man that has not been able to find peace in my sovereign God's hand. I don't want that. And I don't think you do either. I don't think you do either. Here's the ESV. It says, gray hair is the crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. I like that. I like that. That we want to have this righteous life about us. And as we get older, we want to be known for the wisdom that we carry. The things that we have learned along the way. The way we can take a young man or a young woman under our wings and say, listen, I tried that when I was your age. And it messed my life up. You don't realize how long it was before I finally came to the point where I understood that I needed to just rest in the hands of God and let God be God. So we want to do that. So this morning we're going to look at 7 lessons that godly old men, women too, so make sure we got that straight, all right? 7 lessons that godly men and women have learned in their walk of faith. 1. Pride is an abomination of the Lord. Some of us went Friday night to listen to Chad Williams, the Navy SEAL that the rescue mission had brought in. It was held at IBC. And boy, did he hammer on this particular sin. In fact, he had the audacity to say, behind every sin we commit is pride. That pride is at the root of all of it. But let's look at just the first 5 verses of Proverbs 16. Solomon writes, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of men are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. You know, some of us are kind of guilty of picking out certain sins, and we will say that these certain sins are abomination to the Lord, and we're not afraid to say it. There are certain sins that we are pretty, pretty strong on. And if anybody falls into some of these particular sins, we have nothing good to say because they are an abomination to the Lord. And yet in my life, I let pride go. I let pride slip in and take a seat and just let pride kind of handle things. It's a way of protecting me. And yet God can't be any clearer here. I don't know what else he could say to make it any clearer, but if I am a man, if I am a proudful man, proud of who I am because of what I've done, et cetera, I'm an abomination to the Lord. Whew, that hurts, doesn't it? Because there's not one of us here that does not deal with this sin. And it's amazing. All it takes is somebody to make a statement, respond in a certain way, and pride just whoosh, comes right in. But one of the things that we learn as we age, unless, as Bill Brewer would say, age comes alone. But one of the things that happens, supposed to happen in godly children, or God's children, the Christian life, one of the things that's supposed to take place as we age and become gray-haired is we understand that pride has no place in our lives, and to let go and learn to be humble. Second thing, humility and the fear of God are key. Look at the next few verses, or verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9 says, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. We need to become a people that learn. I should have read verses 6 and 7 there as well. Let's back up. In the mercy of truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies at peace with him. You and I need to learn to be individuals that understand that God is very much in control, and that if I just step away and allow him to guide and direct me, life's much easier. He can even work in the hearts of my enemies. And so humility is not one of those easy things to do, but to just surrender to letting God be God. Why has he allowed this in my life? Why is he allowing our family to deal with these circumstances? Why is my job creating such pressures? Why is it that I have just been diagnosed with this particular illness? Why? Trust him. I know, easier said than done. But the quicker we become broken and contrite before him, when we begin to allow him to be who he is and submit totally and completely to his sovereign hand and just cry out, God, I don't know why you're doing what you're doing. I don't like what's happening right now, but I know that you are the God who is in control, and I will trust you even now. Pride is an abomination to the Lord. Humility and the fear of God is key. Number three, authority comes with responsibility. Verse 10. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness. For a throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. What we're learning is that even in the life of a king, this authority comes with responsibility. And I could spend a lot of time dealing with those in power today and the responsibility that is theirs, but you realize as a father, God has given me authority. And with that authority comes responsibility. As a husband, God has given me authority. And with that authority comes responsibility. As we have responsibilities at church, whether you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or whatever, Sunday school teacher, with responsibility comes, with authority comes responsibility. And so we are to remember that any place that God has placed me to where I have certain amounts of authority, there is a responsibility of honoring and glorifying Him with my life, recognizing again that what I have and who I am is not because of me, but because of Him. Wisdom versus earthly treasures. Wisdom versus earthly treasures. Look at verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. What is it? What is it that each of us really want in this life? I guess all I'd have to do is go back and examine my life the last couple of years. Let's go back and examine why do I do what I do? What is it that I'm really trying to get out of this life? What is it that I really want? And as a believer, the thing that we should really be striving for is wisdom and understanding. God created me in the womb of my mother, as He did you. He allowed you to be born into this world, and He has sustained your life up to this very moment. And He will sustain your life until it is time for you to leave planet Earth and spend eternity somewhere. And I hope all of us understand that if we're going to spend eternity in heaven, it is going to be found in Christ alone, by faith alone, through grace alone. But nevertheless, He has allotted me X amount of time on planet Earth. And there is something driving each of us. And all Solomon is saying in this Proverbs is that the thing that all of us ought to be striving for is wisdom and understanding. Because one day I'm going to have to stand before my Creator, as Solomon reminds us at the end of Ecclesiastes, where He is going to evaluate everything good and bad in my life. And He will actually reveal at that particular time what it is that I was really striving for. And He will reveal whether it was wisdom and understanding that I was really after in this life, or whether it was whatever's in this life. None of us want to live in poverty. None of us want to be poor. We live in the great United States of America, where you can be anything you want to be, do whatever you want to do. But be careful, because living in this great land of promise and potential and possibility and the land of dreams, if you're not careful, you'll become a self-made person. I visited an individual just recently, sat down with him, done very well in this life, very well. And I just reminded him that he was a self-made man, and that's a dangerous place to be. Because when you're a self-made person, there's a lot of pride, a lot of pride. And so all Solomon is saying, he had gold, he had silver. Maybe we would say it's easy for him to say this. But I think Jesus would have complimented this saying by telling us this: seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. If you have any questions about my sovereignty and my ability to take care of things, look at the birds. Look at the plants. I can take care of you too. So the fourth thing that we ought to learn is that wisdom is far better than anything this world has to offer. And when we have wisdom, we live our lives according to that wisdom, and we bring Him glory, whether we're eating or drinking or whatsoever we do it all for His glory. Fifth thing, A righteous life reaps good fruit. A righteous life reaps good fruit. Drop down to verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. And it goes on. But we get the idea that those of us that surrender ourselves completely, and what that means is dying to self. It's dying to myself and picking up my cross and following Christ. That when we truly do that, that there will be fruit that will be visible for all to see. It's kind of like we're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens? There is a fruit that is produced. That fruit is love and joy. Joy. How can I be a cynical person if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? How can I be angry at the world if God controls me and sustains me and fills me? The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace. And we could go on. And so all Solomon is reminding us here in these verses is that a righteous life produces a fruit that helps us continue to live this righteous life. Number six, the ways of man bring death. This is that self-made man syndrome right here. Verses 25 through 30. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The person who labors, labors for himself. For his hungry mouth drives him on. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in the way that is not good. He winks with his eye to devise perverse things. He pursues his lips. He purses his lips and brings about evil. Those verses right there remind us, don't become cynical. Because when I become cynical, I don't trust anybody. And because I don't trust anybody, I'm always looking for a way that continually makes them look bad and me look good. And so the ways of man brings death. I can justify it. The ways of a man seem right to him. So I can justify everything I can do. I can justify why I'm so proud. I can justify why I treat so-and-so the way I treat so-and-so. I can justify the bitterness that I carry in my heart. I can justify the grudges. I can justify it all because. And all of that stems back to pride. So as I grow, I begin to learn that I've got to let God be God. And yes, I have goals, I have aspirations, I have plans for my life, and I am striving for that. And then God pulls the rug out from underneath me and says, slow down a bit, Buster. So as we grow old, we need to understand that my ways are not his ways. His thoughts are different than my thoughts. And what he has planned for my life is probably a whole lot different than what I have planned for my life. And even though he has allowed me the freedom to be able to pursue that which I have pursued and done well, at any moment he can pull the rug out from underneath my feet and say, now wait a second, buddy. I'm still in control. So we learn that the ways of man bring death. And then lastly, cynicism scoffs at God's control. Verses 32 and 33. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Verse 32 just reminds us that God's in control. We're going to run into opposition in life. We're going to run into trials and difficulties. Yeah, I can just bite the bullet. I can just grin and bear it. I can press on. And there are times in life we need to do those things. I'm not saying that we're not. But the point of saying that I am in control, I will make this happen, and I don't care what God or anybody else tries to stop me, I'm going forward. And so Solomon just reminds us that it's a whole lot better to just calm down. Trust God here. Oh, you might win the war or win the battle, but you'll lose the war. I think it's how it goes. You might win the argument, but you might lose a friend, a relationship. It's better just to sit back and say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me here? What is it that you're trying to get through this thick skull of mine? What pride is it that I need to surrender now? I don't want to be a scoffer. I don't want to live my life as if God's not in control and he can't be trusted. So Solomon just reminds us that trust God. Here you find yourself maybe in the biggest battle you've ever faced. You don't know which way to turn. And right now, you don't know who to trust. But you can trust the sovereign God who's in control of this. He knows your circumstances. He knows everything about what it is you're going through. He has a plan and a purpose for this. If you would just rest in him, allow God to be God and to walk day by faith alone, and you'll see what God can do. Don't allow life to mold us into becoming just cynical people. I don't want to be a cynical old man. And I have to admit, as I have, 27 or 28 grandkids now, life doesn't look good for them. What is it that they're going to have to deal with in life? I don't know, but if I was to evaluate it, because I don't trust the government, I don't trust the scientists, I don't trust. And I can become a cynical old man to where I've got nothing positive to say, and there is no way that I can instill within these little lives, trust God. Walk by faith. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know what kind of struggles and things you're going to have to deal with. But I do know this. God is very much in control. And he will be just as much in control when you become a teenager, when you become adult, when you become a parent, as he is right now. And if there's anything I have learned over the years of trusting him and walking with him, is that I can believe that he's in control and I can allow him to work things out. That's what we ought to be teaching our grandchildren. But when we gather around and all they hear about, you can't trust this, you can't trust that, you can't trust him, you can't trust her, and you can't trust them, our cynicism will spread like gangrene. If you don't believe me, watch the news tonight. Look at social media. We are a people divided because we have all become cynics. Let me assure you as I close, the God that started this world into motion is still in control. And he knows your situation very, very well. And you can trust him. Don't allow life to make you become a cynical old man. Because cynicism robs us of joy. And we become as dangerous as a rattlesnake to everyone around us. Don't let that happen. Don't let it happen to you. And I will try my best not to let it happen to me. Because the last thing a church needs is an old, cynical, old preacher. Amen. Let's pray. Father, what a challenge. Solomon had become a very cynical old man. But somewhere along the way, he learned a lesson. We are becoming cynical people. We are a land of cynicism, and it is spreading. It is contaminating everything about life. And even in a church where you ought to find faith and joy, purpose and meaning, direction and wisdom and insight and understanding, the church is becoming just as cynical as everything else. Forgive us. Forgive me. It's hard to not allow this world to shape our thoughts, to mold us, and yet you have reminded us of our responsibility to bring our bodies a living sacrifice, and that we are to transform the way that we think, and that we live by faith, trusting in your promises, and believing that you are the sovereign God in control of everything. God, I can't change yesterday. Can't change last week or last year or half of my life. But I can change the way I look at tomorrow. But before I need to worry about tomorrow, I need to change the way I look at today. Give us a biblical mindset. Help us to be a people that in the midst of some of the greatest trials and difficulties, we will be known for our joy and our positive confidence in you, in every area of our lives. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.